we needed to take care of ourselves, that we needed to spend time outside of the hospital, that we didn't need to come in for every feeding, especially the middle of the night ones, that we should take advantage of some of the best babysitters. So we did, sort of. We skipped the 3 a.m. feedings, we tried to go out once a day, and we came to church. I remember many of you being surprised to see us at the end of the year potluck, just 10 days after the girls were born. But we needed to be here. We needed to be surrounded by this community. I needed to feel God's presence and to be reminded that God was with us during those hard days. I needed to be here, in this space, surrounded by each of you, people we loved, who loved us, and in turn loved our girls. I don't think I realized just how important you all were to me until my daughters were born. They have been completely welcomed into this faith community. They are so very loved. It is our privilege to be able to raise them here at Old South Church in Boston. Next month, here at Festival Worship, we will have the girls baptized. They will be formally welcomed into this community of faith. We will make promises to teach them about God's unconditional love and grace, about the stories of our faith, and to walk with them as they discover their own faith. We are lucky. We don't have to do this alone. We have each of you to help teach our girls, to remind them that they are children of God, to play with them, to challenge them, and most importantly, to love them. Thank you. Thank you for being there for us, for wrapping us up in prayer, for loving us, and for being community with us.
Good morning. My name is Sonia Pete Larson. I'm 10 years old, and I live in Cambridge, and I've been coming to Old South Church since I was born. Thank you so much for letting me come here today to speak. What God and church mean to me is the meaning of calm, prayer, and meeting new friends and seeing old ones. I come here to honor God and to pray and to take a step back from school
studies class? Just saying. But seriously, I know that gratitude can cure fear and discomfort, so at the end of these challenging days, I've been soaking in Epsom salts in the dark room with lit candles and focusing on the positive. Hey God, thank you, thank you, thank you for sending your angel Tessa to me. How did she even have an extra shirt in her locker when I ripped mine on that random nail on the wall? Thank you for friends. Hey God, thank you for my kind neighbors who take me to school every day. They've been looking out for me since they already have a year of middle school. Thank you for your angels everywhere. Hey God, again, thank you for my amazing dog, Mookie. She always knows just what to say and makes everything better every time. Thank you for all your creatures. Hey God, thank you for my family. Each and every one of them asks how my day was, including my brother. They have helped and supported me through everything. Thank you for showing me how to love. I'm only 10.4 days in, but I can see it's getting better every day. Middle school is for reals, yo. I need help, but I'm super grateful.
I have been on a faith journey my entire life, though I didn't know it. I have within me a burning truth, a fundamental understanding of what the universe is, what it feels like. But I didn't always know that God had anything to do with it. I just wanted to share this thing I had and felt. Truth is a special thing. When we know something is true, we feel it within our core. Expressing that knowledge requires the right words, the correct vocabulary, and I didn't have it. So I sought it out. I studied philosophy, reading books upon books. I read Heidegger and thought, yes, this sounds intelligent and somewhat matches what I feel inside. I'll believe this. But it was an active choice, not a surrendering to an overarching truth. I just needed something to believe. The vocabulary didn't flow, though. How on earth can you share your feelings about the world with someone when you must first say, well, when you are ecstatic in the nothingness, then you will understand freedom? It works in a college lecture, but not when a friend is dealing with tragedy or when you're madly in love. So my search continued for the vocabulary I needed to explain that there was something greater than me from which all life and love were derived and gave meaning and purpose to the world around me. I still couldn't talk about it. I didn't have the words. And then I met a guy, a wonderful, caring, and funny guy who happened to be churchy. He said, let's find a church in Boston. And so we found Old South. We came on a Sunday, and it was like coming home. For it is in this place, this beautiful old history place, that I finally heard someone speaking the vocabulary that I needed to speak out the truths that I have always known. That there is divinity in math and numbers, because scripture tells us that God gave Noah numbers in order to save humanity. That there is always a moral choice because Abraham both surrendered and stood up to God and both were right. That questioning God is an act of faith because he gave us our intellect and wants us to use it to pursue our relationship with him. That love, supreme, beautiful, all-encompassing love comes from God and he will meet us where we are and love us no matter what. That we are all united together in faith, and the freedom that we all hold so dear doesn't come from nothingness at all, but comes from something so divine that when my words fail, wonderful people in this lovely place can still understand me because they feel it too. I'm still on my faith journey and I'm still learning, but I know this truth. I'm being baptized next month and becoming a member of this congregation. It's a special thing to find a new home in your 30s, that I get to share a vocabulary and a faith with that community is something I couldn't describe before. Now I have the word. It is a blessing.
Hey, God, that's me, Donnie. Did good with Sonia and Hazel there. I could use a solid two. Thank you for the opportunity to talk a little bit about what Old South has meant to me as a Christian in continual formation. It's interesting to be nestled under a heading called Settle Down and Serving in between finding your way and growing older. Each of those phrases is so complex. They imply that we end whatever we call early adulthood knowing our way and ready to settle down and serve a purpose we understand. When my wife, then girlfriend, Holly, and I joined Old South 12 years ago, long before the birth of our children, I remember being particularly taken with the benediction that Quinn Caldwell often delivered. Ask not for tasks equal to your power, but for power equal to your task. Then the doing of the task will not be the miracle. You will be the miracle. We liked it so much, we asked him to integrate it into our wedding homily. Looking back, I remember hearing that and being filled with this sense of possibility. Yes, just see it, and then you can do it. Where there's a will, there's a way. I remember vividly recalling myself as a young adult, looking forward in my life and seeing career and parenthood and marriage, community, mission, shimmering on the horizon, and feeling my own power to realize those visions swell up in me. It would be easy to talk about how adulthood, the intersection of finding your way and settling down and serving, is the attainment of all of those things in accordance with divine will. But what happens when not everything goes to plan? When we approach the vision on the horizon and find that one or more of those things is not what we expected? When we discover that our power may actually not be equal to the task? What remains when the hubris or optimism that assumed that our will and God's were in perfect synergy gets melted away by a career that fails to progress, challenges with fertility or finding a partner, relationship issues, or loneliness? What does that teach or tell us about our power, our plans, and our understanding of God's will? Enter, I hope, forgiveness and grace. Every week, I learn about how God's forgiveness of us is a model for how we might be gentle with ourselves. Old South helped me realize that perhaps adulthood is less about the achieving of a vision and more about the doing of a task with discipline and love in my heart. Perhaps the true miracle that Quinn was talking about is not this mythical matching of task to power and ability, but in the ability to discern the tasks that matter and to forgive oneself for not being able to tackle everything and, frankly, probably failing at important things we desperately wanted to be good at. Every Sunday, the Old South community seeks guidance from the scriptures for how to live our imperfect lives in an imperfect world, ever in pursuit of the beloved community promised by Jesus. Every Sunday, we help each other walk the tightrope of striving to be as perfect as our most perfect God without being so hard on ourselves that we despair at every failure. Through the sermons we hear, the hymns we sing, the brief conversations over coffee, we help each other unveil the tasks that must be done and become more perfect but it might be a Christian way of settling down and serving.
Good morning. I'm Lori Spencer. I have been a member of Old South Church for almost 40 years. I am tempted to spend the few minutes that I have allocated to me to sing Anthony praises and to tell him how much we will miss him. But I don't have nearly enough time for that topic, so those remarks will need to await another occasion. I thought I might comment briefly today on two aspects of life in Old South that are very important to me: our open door and the continuity of this church community for my family. Whether this is your second visit to Old South or you have been coming here for 40 years, you know what I mean by our open door. This is a community where no test of faith needs to be satisfied. No facade of spirituality needs to be put up. No effort needs to be made to adjust your political views in order to be welcomed and, in fact, deeply loved for who you are right now. You just need to walk in the doors and sit down. Do you abide your essence and pray that our trespasses be forgiven as we forgive those who trespass against us? No problem. As to continuity, my wife Diane and I were married by Jim Crawford in 1981. Diane had been attending Old South for several years by then, and I was relatively new to the church, having attended for just a year. When we asked him to marry us, Jim invited us to his cottage in New Hampshire and taught us, showed us, really, the importance of being a loving, considerate, respectful spouse. And then we went water skiing. Our children had been baptized at Old South. I still recall our first child, Allison, in her bright red baptismal dress, hardly the usual white-on-white lace baptismal gown. Old South is where conventionality goes to die. For many years, this has truly been our church home, a place where we are completely comfortable being ourselves and participating in the life of the church where we could. Church finance and governance committees, check. Vision committees, check. Help paint the beautiful ironwork on the outside of the church under Nancy's guidance, check. Crawl through the Bible with Anthony so slowly that no talking donkey, no despised woman who turns out to be a saint gets missed, check. In closing, I recently prepared a short article for the Old South Encyclopedia about how our magnificent bell tower, once commonly known as the Leaning Tower of Boston, was torn down in the midst of the Great Depression because of safety concerns, with no realistic hope for its reconstruction. The easy course, the expedient course, would have been to rebuild a modest tower with the means at hand. But the visionary members of the Old South community spent the money they had not on a modest tower, but in building a foundation for the magnificent tower that they prayed they could one day afford. We are the beneficiaries of that foresight today, with our beautiful soaring tower built on a solid foundation, even as we all helped lay a strong foundation for the celebration of our faith at Old South for many years to come. Thank you.
Wow. I wish all of you had a chance to be this close to the choir when they were singing. I'm Ruth Bertillo. I'm the older one. My faith journey has been as dynamic as the changes in my body during my 70 explicitly the faith of a grain of mustard seed. That didn't seem to hold much promise for the aspirations I had, even as a little girl, ending up in a jar of mustard. But I was also told that with this, I might one day move mountains, and I liked that. As a child, then a teenager, and a young adult, with big ambitions and dreams of adventure and success, and in the social and religious context that nurtured me through those relatively younger years, the belief was rampant that I could draw on a faith. Faith was a resource all of us could draw on. So I began to move from a doubting acquaintance with that mustard seed faith to active acknowledgement that my participation in that deeper source of goodness called God could actually help me achieve my goals, realize my ambitions. It was the substance of things I hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In retrospect, thanks to the nurturance again of family, church, and community, not all of them were bad goals. They sprang out of all that above and social political context, some of my ambitions being that part committed to doing good and righting the wrongs of injustice. And I put my mind, as did Alexandra, to deepening this faith, understanding of faith. And as it happens, when one bumps into a faithful, patient, and loving God, working through the examples of people of faith, as they declare themselves, that I had come to admire, this cause I embraced of taking faith seriously began to embrace me. I could be in cahoots with something bigger than I could achieve on my own. But as you all know, there too was the rub. It was about me, my need to succeed, that really commanded my attention. And like Donnie and Roy, it took the years of living into those longer experiences that little by little, that interpretation of faith began to crack. Some successes came, feeding my ambition, but I had to admit that I was getting exhausted. It was probably in trying to complete a PhD in a field at midlife, as I called it then, that I had confidently walked into, I can do that, like everything else, but with little precious preparation, and completed, literally by the skin of my teeth, of seeing during that same time my mother, whom I and everyone else was praying would be healed, continue to decline, to suffer, and live a very hard end of her life for some years, dying just a week before I was due to defend my dissertation. I've seen a nagging feeling that many of my heroes and sheroes were not only was it my mother dying, but they were being assassinated or worn out without seeing the other shore or the ERA being ratified. And a crack open experience was the opportunity that I took as a grand opportunity for adventure, being invited to South Africa, where I very quickly became involved with anti-apartheid people of faith, who in fact, many of whom did not believe they would see apartheid end in their lifetimes. That is to realize their lifelong goal, and some didn't. But who literally risked beyond any courage I had ever thought I had to be true to a vision that God had put before them. And over time, this finally broke open my heart. And in that continued breaking, a space opened up, as others have said, where light can get a chance to come through. It was light that seemed to hold a life with a capital L. I started to really understand that my dependence for my very existence, and the only safe place for it, was that gave an incredible assurance that no matter what, I'm held. I am held. It's not a done deal. I'm here. I need this church. Pray for me, my friends. I count on you. But I am more sure than ever that as I move through these dynamic years of my harvesting, growing through acquaintance with a mustard seed faith, to acknowledgement, to acceptance, to assurance, that God's faithfulness is great. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest. God has been there rooting for me, and also for all of creation, of which we all are an integral part, but rooting for us to just live into that faith. I thought Alexander, thank you, explained it so well, as a blossoming and a blessing. Still my prayer during the show, still in my 70s, my prayer during the short or long years of my harvesting goes right back to what Sonia and Lisa said, Annie Lamont, still one of my shows. Hey God, help me, help me. I still have questions as my life ensues with surprises, some welcome and some not. But stay with me, God. Abide with me. In fact, everything that matters depends on it.